Fish Creek.
Okay. The updated version.
The updated version, yes,
okay.
Please.
All right, very good.
Because that was...
All right, we're going to call our meeting back to order, and we'll turn the time over to Dennis. Time for P&Z.
All right. Good afternoon, commissioners. First agenda item that we have today is an application by Fish Creek Ranches, LLC, and it's for a conditional use permit in the agricultural zoning district to allow for a 4,000-foot-long private runway. The property is located in Section 34 and 35, Township 30, Range 114 West, which is located west of Big Piney, in between Middle Piney County Road and South Fish Creek Road. See the map, so straight west up there towards the mountain. So what the owners are proposing there and the Fish Creek Ranch is owned by Jeremy and Sarah Hall. And what they're proposing is the 4,000-foot private land runway, which is going to be a grass runway. So basically, they'll level out the ground, do any ground prep work and stuff that they need to do, and it'll all be seeded back to grass. So it's for light, plane-type traffic. And from my understanding, it's for their use to fly up from Utah and land. They have plans to put in a small cabin and stuff there for their use. So,
are there any buildings on that?
There are some buildings. I believe there are a lot of older ranch buildings.
Is there one said cabin? There's two really old, broken down
homestead
type cabins, but there's one cabin that's been in use. It's the old Jim Luce Ranch. Anybody's familiar with that up there?
Okay.
Generally, where is this?
Generally, it's back out here. So it's in between Middle Piney and South Fish Creek.
Okay.
We're
okay.
10 miles west of Big Piney.
Where's the cabin?
Roughly right here.
Okay.
Yeah,
right there.
Development there.
Right on the edge of the property.
Okay.
All right. Oh, I see it. I see it on mine now.
Okay. I believe the proposal for the new cabin is on up here.
And I just want to make sure that I am seeing the Chrisman Ranch buildings on that. Am I seeing that right down there off of South Fish Creek Road?
Chrisman is this spot right here.
Yeah.
This one?
Yeah. Okay, that's what I was looking at. Okay.
All right, the other part that came up in the discussion is the Finnegan Feed Ground is located right inside this BLM section up here, clear at the head of the draw.
Okay.
The Wyoming Game and Fish also commented on that, and they had proposed some conditions. Okay, migration impacts and stuff. The runway will not be fenced, so there won't be any impacts as far as not letting animals and stuff across. Construction not from November 15th to April 30th. Wildlife friendly fencing, and that the flight patterns on the airstrip would not go over top of the Finnegan Feed Ground from November through April. And The Halls did not think that would be a problem since there would probably be snow up there by then and they
wouldn't be flying in November through April.
Right.
Okay.
So that was some of that discussion.
And the general flight patterns are, once they hit, come off the end of the runway, they're going to be turning right or left. They're going directly ahead to the pinnacle.
Would they be taking off or landing coming in over the top of the Chrisman Place?
Their flight plan shows that, yes. Yeah, they would be passing over Pam's place there, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, they would. I see it now. Okay.
Where's the flight pattern?
Right here.
Oh, I see. Okay. Got it. Right. Okay.
And actually, they would be coming over Pam's. They could be coming over Tim's, too.
Yeah.
If it, you know, farther out, of course.
Yeah. Can you show me where the Thompson place is?
It is right there.
Right.
But
yeah. Okay. Right there. Okay.
I was going to see if I can, somehow, maybe you can zoom in on this one.
Around there all the time.
Yeah. It's drones.
Okay. So Tim's there. Christmas is there.
Okay. Gotcha.
And the feed ground is right up here.
Okay. All right. Okay.
Dennis, where again was Thompson's place?
It is this right there.
Okay. Got it.
So, yeah. As far as that goes, as far as how they might be approaching, would be right around both those residences. And up to draw there, but.
Okay. Carry on.
During the planning zoning meeting, there was not a lot of discussion about that. Neighbors on to the north there, Springmans were here.
Terry and
Rob. Yes, they were here. They really had no disagreement or anything with it. That was the only residents that had showed up, and that was the only ones that I had received any comments from.
Nothing from Thompson or Chrisman.
Tim called me this morning.
Okay.
And some of his concerns and such were about flight patterns or flying over his house, over his cattle and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
I did not get anything officially from him or
okay.
anything like that other than the phone call this morning.
Nothing from Christmas?
No.
Were they?
Wow.
I mean, adjacent landowners are usually notified, but if these aren't adjacent landowners, but they are in the flight path, did they receive notice that this was going to be considered by planning and zoning?
They.
In other words, did they know?
Are they adjacent landowners?
No, they're not within 1,000.
So Thompson or Chrisman, neither of them are adjacent landowners.
No, and I looked at that this morning. If that would have been bumped out to a mile radius, then it would have just touched them. They would have been notified.
Okay.
But right. And I was looking at that, and it's a point
right.
to get brought up.
It's a little different animal than a building.
Right, and it's...
Because flight patterns take in quite a bit bigger area.
Yeah, there's that, and when you start dealing with large agricultural areas, the 1,000-foot radius that's wrote in the regs and stuff is very limiting, you know, because basically
yeah.
you're just hitting the next property owner.
Right.
To where... Those regs maybe need a look at to where when you're out in the ag and stuff, if
need
it was bumped out a mile,
a little, don't they?
Yeah, it needs to be bumped out a mile mm-hmm. or so because your neighbors all of a sudden become, you know, 5 or 10 miles away. That's a common thing, not...
We don't deal with a lot of landing strips.
And we don't deal with that either, yes.
In my past with the zoning board, we've regulated how many landings they can do a year.
Right.
Which is 14.
Thinking of the
so
one out
14 right now on this
thinking
one.
Of the one out in Boulder.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, the 14 isn't the regulation is, if I may speak out on that subject, is if it's under 14, he doesn't need to come to you at all. It's only because he expects
he's
to have more
expecting
than 14.
More than 14.
Just if he uses the...
Is that what that is?
But there was still some regulation, wasn't there, on that one out in Boulder? How many times?
Yeah, it was 12, I believe, but I'd have to go back and look. But that was because the neighbors were worried about
him going into, I believe, flight training or teaching?
Well, it was a commercial use.
Yeah, was, but that was a commercial conversation.
Yeah, what's the fear on that one?
It's been a while ago.
Right.
No, I remember that one well. So I...
Okay.
All right.
Go ahead, Dennis. Carry on, and then we'll have some discussion.
Establishment 14. 14 or more landings per year. A landing strip establishes primarily engaging in furnishing non-scheduled air transportation, which having qualified to be airspace by FAA, placed on the charts. Okay, these considerations and facilities. Any establishment with 14 or more landings per year, including helicopter landings, shall be considered a landing strip. So if it was less than 14 landings per year, it would not necessarily be considered a landing strip.
Right.
So the conditional use permit that he's applying for is for a landing, a private landing strip. It is allowed in the agricultural zoning district.
And it does not have a limit.
No, it does not.
Ins and outs.
No, not that we have.
Okay.
So this was discussed with Planning and Zoning Board. The recommendations, as noted, of the Wyoming Game and Fish were recommended for approval. And the commission recommended to approve it to you guys 4-0.
Okay.
Scott Sherbel, like I said, was representing. If he, you know, he could definitely answer any more questions.
Yeah.
I'd be more than happy to answer questions.
Does he know how nice that airport is in Marbleton? And the FBO? It's a really nice building.
And safe.
And fuel.
He's a pilot. What can you say?
All right, open for discussion, gentlemen. Go ahead, Commissioner.
Mr. Chairman, I would just assume that we table this for another 2 weeks so we have a opportunity to make sure that Crispin and Thompson are aware of the discussion because of the flight pattern and have availability to make comment.
Okay. Further discussion. You had a comment, Commissioner Noble?
Mm.
No, not really. Yes, no.
No.
Whenever we look at things like this, I put myself in one of the other landowners' positions. And I know Pam Crisman has some very nice horses and some high-dollar horses that she uses and raises and foals, and foals are skittish, and I would worry about flight patterns over the top of my horses. But go ahead.
Chairman, the question, did this come up in the P&Z discussion at all?
No, it did not.
Okay.
Like I say, that,
okay.
Yeah, flight patterns and stuff, other than the Finnegan feed ground,
yeah,
which
that
comes to begin with, but not the flight patterns over the neighbors.
I tend to concur with David that maybe we ought to table it and send him a letter, a notification.
Do I have a motion?
I'll make a motion that we table it until we have that opportunity to notify the landowners in the flight pattern.
Second.
It has been moved and seconded that we table this discussion until further notification of other neighbors that may be affected by the flight pattern. Any further discussion?
I guess if we do continue on this path, we need to have the regulations amended to meet that mile radius for airstrips instead of 1,000 feet.
I think it needs to be discussed on, in general, how we notify everybody. So as the properties increase, that area should also increase.
Okay. So I guess that's my only comment is if we follow through, then we need to make this a standard.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Further discussion, Commissioner Brownhauser.
This is under the umbrella of the planning and zoning. So we as commissioners, should we contact them, or should we say
talk to the planning and zoning.
If I was going to make the motion, I would have made the motion to remand this back to planning and zoning, is how I would have made that motion. Now, there still is that option, but there's a motion and a second on the table.
So, I would be willing to change my second.
I'd be willing to withdraw the motion.
Okay. Motion and second has been withdrawn. I'll entertain a new motion.
I make a motion to send this back to planning and zoning to address the concerns that we have.
Second.
It has been moved and seconded that we remand this matter back to planning and zoning to take into consideration flight patterns and neighbors affected by the flight patterns. Any further discussion?
I think the people that have applied for this need to understand why we did this, solely because of the flight path. And we're looking at maybe making that change. It wasn't like this is going to be turned down.
Yeah, this isn't shot.
No, we're not shooting this down. It's right. Just a matter of letting everybody know what's going on. So okay. They're...
let them revisit that, and then you can come back to us. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Motion carries.
Thank you.
Yep.
Okay, so I will re-advertise that. I will send out a new round of neighbor notices.
Yep.
Extend and make sure we get those people.
Thank you.
Contacted.
Beautiful. So and that we'll involves Springman's over. Also.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, they were.
So you got Springman's, Thompson's, and Christmas.
Yes.
Okay. Those are the three landowners we need to really be concerned about.
Okay.
Is that correct? Anybody else?
I believe so. Gary Reese, he lives down the creek, not on Fish Creek, but he lives down.
Down a ways?
Down a ways. I don't think it could affect.
All right. Very good. All right. All right. Next item.
The next item that we have is an application by Ron Gordon requesting an amendment to the existing conditional use permit that exists on his 40-acre parcel of light industrial property. I give you guys all a summary of the existing conditional use and everything that was in place, how that came about, and such. Currently, the development on the property is limited to 9 employee housing units, and if there were any additions or any changes to that application or the proposed use of that conditional use was to be made, that the applicant was to come back before the board for that amended conditional use. The proposed amendments to that conditional use would allow for the 2 employee housing units, which are currently used by Stallion Oil Field Service, with an additional of 4 single-wide mobile home housing units to be located within the property. So this would eliminate then there are 4 single bedroom cabins that are currently allowed. So with this proposal, we'd take it from 9 employee housing units down to 6 employee housing units, and there is a caretaker's residence also allowed within the property. There was some discussion about this, and the Planning and Zoning Board felt that amending the conditional use permit would be a lot more acceptable than trying to rezone anything on the property to allow for basically the same use. There are a few stipulations that the Planning and Zoning Board recommended to be placed on the conditional use permit. With that, the first one would be the elimination of the 4 single bedroom cabins as living units as they are currently allowed, that a site plan be submitted showing as-built locations of all the structures, wells, and septic systems, and the proposed locations of the mobile home units, wells, and septic systems. The housing units may be leased to companies with businesses located on the property, so for employee housing. Their employees or immediate family members. Housing units shall not be leased to the general public, so it would not be like a trailer park type of thing, be able to lease. Rentals to the general public. So this conditional use shall be limited to 6 single-wide mobile home units and 1 caretaker's residence. That a potable water test from each on-site well providing water to the housing units be submitted to the county sanitations on an annual basis. That any changes to this application or as-built site plans shall be permitted as amendment to the conditional use of this permit.
Is there anything that says how many occupants can be in each? A family can, in one single wide, are we talking immediate family? Are we talking mom and dad, in-laws, cousins? How many people are we going to put in a single wide? Is there any restrictions?
I believe they're, what, a two-bedroom or?
They're all three-bedroom, and there was no limitation or restriction proposed for the amount of people occupying the house.
Three-bedroom, and they all have to be of the same family? Is that how I understood that?
Family would be, it would be for the property owner's immediate family members.
Oh.
The property owner's immediate family. Or employees of businesses related to. So the employees don't have to be family. Right.
Okay.
Employee housing.
Okay, I understand that now. The family thing got by me there.
Okay.
All right, so three bedroom, one bath?
They're three bedroom, two bath. All of them.
Two bath. Okay, so potentially you could have 3 people per trailer, 6 trailers. Mm-hmm.
Originally, right now
you've got 9 permitted for 9 employee houses, right?
Yeah, 5 trailer houses and 4 single bedroom cabins.
Cabins. Okay. So you do realize that probably decreases the amount of people you can have there from what you have right now.
I did.
Okay.
But it is far more suitable for what we're doing because the industry doesn't offer utilization.
Gotcha. Okay. I understand. Comments? Go ahead.
Do we have a time frame? It is kind of a give and take. You're going to get your provisional permit, but you're going to give up 4 of those single dwellings.
They've already been given up.
Okay.
They're still permitted, but they're not active.
They're not active.
Are they going to stay there? Or are they going to be moved? Or are they going to...
That depends on the environment. They won't be occupied as they are. They may be on the property as a storage unit, and they may be sold to people that want to utilize them. But they will not be residential or housing units from now on.
Okay.
Just playing devil's advocate, how do we know they won't be used, Ron? For residential. Okay. But nothing in writing.
He's got it all in writing in the provisional use right there. It's already all in writing.
And what's the penalty for them if they become inhabited?
We lose these conditional
use. The conditional use can be revoked.
Okay.
And I believe that there are also some penalties written within the regs that could be imposed. But if the provisions of the conditional use are not followed, it can be pulled.
Okay.
Okay.
And that falls within your jurisdiction?
Yes.
Very good.
I was going to ask who polices that.
Yeah, good.
Down to you, sir.
I police it?
No. That is the planning and zoning department.
Gary polices it, not for all of you.
Okay. Further discussion?
Recommendation?
The recommendation was to approve the amendments to the conditional use permit 4-0. So they recommend it to you for that approval.
Okay, I'd entertain a motion.
Any comments from surrounding neighbors? I guess not.
No. Let's go around, not at all.
Okay.
I have nothing. I'll make the motion we approve the conditional use permit.
Second. It has been moved and seconded that we approve the conditional use permit presented by Ron Gordon as presented. Further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries.
Thank you very much, gentlemen.
You bet. Good luck, Ron.
Thank you.
Alrighty.
Is that it?
That, I believe, is it for me.
Very good.
Can't make anything.
Gee, thanks for making it easy.
Could have been a lot worse.
Yeah. It has been. And it will be.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Okay. Well, gentlemen, thank you very much for your time.
Yep.
Thanks, Dennis.
Yeah, if there's anything else, and I will get that other out and re-advertised, and we'll get it brought back. So
I would look at your regulations and maybe work on rewriting some of those for the airport notification.
Definitely for that, and I think in general some of that needs done, because I've got several comments on these others also, where that 1,000-foot radius, you end up with half of the subdivision getting notified. Well, the president of the subdivision didn't get notified, and yeah, everything blows up from there.
Okay, thank you.
All right, yes,
appreciate it.
Thank you very much. I shall pack up and get out of your hair.
Andre?
I thought Todd was over here.
Well, so did we. He's on our schedule.
Oh. I texted him right now. We'll see. Everything's going well.
Okay.
Have a good day.
Yeah.
Yeah. Next.
Next.
I did have a question for you, real quick. Are you guys interested in knowing how many permits and stuff are getting issued, or things like that?
Yeah, permits and all tell us.
Yeah.
Keep us appraised of what the trend is, if we're getting busy or whatever.
It is. It's getting very busy, and I can actually put some reports together, some numbers that we actually have.
Okay.
But, yes, the building permits and, you know, septic design, septic permits and stuff, it's been very active this spring. So I think we're...
See what a heck of a...
Yeah. It's kind of amazing.
What a heck of a stockpile of cement septic tanks out there going into Pinedale Lumber. They must figure they're going to sell a pile of them.
Well, they run out last year. So when we only basically had 25 new building permits, there's been a lot of the older septic systems that have been getting replaced, and lots of new building permits. I think we're halfway, at least halfway, if not over halfway, of all the building permits we issued last year. So. Mm-hmm. But anyway, I would put some of those reports together, and if there's any information anybody wants, just let me know.
Thanks, Dennis.
All right.
Thanks,
thank you.
Dennis.
Thanks, Dennis. Mr. Chairman.
Nothing from Todd yet?
He's on his way. He thought he was at 2 o'clock.
Let's,
Mr. Chairman.
You want to go, have you got any other business?
No.
No, because we've got...
Just a comment.
You got business?
I got a comment.
Go ahead.
Let me do old business.
Oh, there you go. You can do your old business.
It's only 2 hours old.
Okay, well, that's fine.
Yeah. Okay, we're all ears.
Fill us in.
At the special meeting of the Rural Healthcare District, which was convened at 11:30, after somewhat lengthy discussion of about an hour and 15 minutes, the board decided that they would take our offer under advisement. It was a four votes yes, one abstention on part of Wendy Bowman. So I'm not sure what that means, other than they're going to take it under advisement. It seems to be their indication that they're going to spend some more money to have that site looked at. But that's my old business.
Okay. That's it. No decision today.
No decision.
Okay.
All right. We made one.
Yeah, we did.
Did they move forward with the wetland study on the Bloomfield?
I left before that.
All right.
I did too, so.
Okay. Are they still
that
meeting?
That wasn't advertised on their special meeting. They can't add it to the agenda.
It was on the agenda.
Oh, I think it was.
I didn't see that.
No, it looked to me like they were not going to go forward because there's a whole lot of issues about water out there. And the water hasn't even turned on out there, so I guess it's going to wait a couple.
The water hasn't been turned on where?
They don't have the Colorado ditch running yet.
Oh, I see. I see what you're saying.
Yeah, they haven't turned. So there are water issues that are.
Don't they want to do that before the kids get out, so that building doesn't come up out of the ground?
So, I don't know. Nothing else. The atmosphere was peachy keen.
What?
Good atmosphere. Everybody's cheering.
I was unbelievable.